Hey guys, when we started this project, we were not sure how hard it would be to edit, record everything, and then eventually distribute. But then luckily, someone told us about Anchor. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Secondly, they have creation tools that will allow you to record and edit directly from your phone or your computer. They distribute your podcast for you. And the best thing is you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We're in a state of confusion. Questions on your mind. Send in Letitia and Brandy. Gonna help you unwind. We're hanging out together, even though we're alone. We'll pass it on over. Sorry we're stoned.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
How's it going? So what are you sorry about this week?
Sorry, I'm going stir crazy. How would you say that? Sorry, I'm going insane.
Oh, yeah, me too. And California just got shut back down today. Mayor Garcetti, Governor Newsom shut us back down today. Restaurants, bars, we're shut down. But, you know, I'm so happy. Like, we need to be. The cases are out of control. And as much as I was a little depressed on Sunday. I don't know. I don't really do that. But on Sunday, I was just really sad. And my friend Juliana came over and she spent the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so on Sunday, like, she was weird and I was weird. And she was like, I just feel sad today. I was like, me too. Mm-hmm. And then today she came by because we went plant shopping and she got a new rubber tree plant.
A what?
A rubber tree plant.
What is that?
There actually used to be a song in the 70s, I think, that goes, oops, there goes another rubber tree. Oops, there goes another rubber tree. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Don't know what that is.
It's the cutest plant ever, and they're called rubber tree plants. She's been wanting one so bad, and so she got one, and then it wouldn't fit in her car. So it is living at my house for the moment, and so she's going to come back tomorrow and pick it up. But the point is, when she came to get it today, she honestly was like, I still feel sad today. And I was like, you know what? Underneath me too, like, I really worked a lot today. I had so much to do. But underneath it, I was still feeling really sad. And then I heard that we were shut down again. And I don't know. I just think you struggle and you get sad about everything that's going on. And then you like pick yourself back up and it seems like everything's going to be okay. And I don't know. It's just so much.
Well, yeah, the horrible vicious cycle. I was talking to Chelsea Lankis today. So for the stoners out there, Chelsea is one of my longest friends. She's one of my best friends. And we actually don't see each other a ton, especially right now, because she has a very tiny baby. But she and I were FaceTiming and we were just talking about how it's really not the staying at home that's so depressing. What's so depressing is that there's nothing to look forward to. You know what I mean? Like,
I could see that.
Social gatherings, no celebrations to look forward to, no work, no trips to look forward to. Like, but it's really not like, you know, it's staying at home has actually been great. I've been getting so much done and resting so much, which has been great, and spending quality time with my animals. But like, it's just the monotony of doing the same thing every day. And that usually that monotony isn't so bad if there's something you're looking forward to, like, later.
No, for sure. And even for me, who's someone that like is all talk when it comes to travel, but I don't usually do it. Like, now that I can't, and I'm kind of having a midlife crisis, like, I'm 53. And if I'm going to travel, I better start real quick, because I want to see so many things. And, you know, even when I talk about it, even with Juliana or my other friends, it's like, I want to go here, I want to go there, and you just can't. And there's no end in sight to that. You know, like, even if things open back up somewhat, I think I'd still be really fearful of flying right now. And like you said, like, with things getting shut back down and not open back up, it feels like there is no end in sight. But maybe this is just a year we're supposed to reflect and we're supposed to figure out, like, next year, like, really set your goals this year. Like, is kind of how I've been thinking about it, because you have to think some positive thoughts or you'll lose it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of goals, are you hooking us up with a travel show for 2021 or?
I've been wanting to. Should I get to work on that now?
So guys, my mom and I, well, first of all, we've talked about A, having another show since Cyrus versus Cyrus, and B, we really have talked about doing some sort of travel show, which I know right now seems insane because we can't travel, but we've always really liked this idea of my mom and I traveling and making a cute little show out of it. So, well, freaking Zac Efron stole my idea. He's on Netflix right now, just traveling his cute self around. And I feel like Tish and I need to do this.
Absolutely. Now, I feel like I just watched a few minutes of it because, again, Juliana was here. And so we ended up watching something else that we'd already started. Hi, Zach. I love you, by the way. I've known Zach since he was like so young. And he's like one of my favorites. He's just an amazing guy. And I can see why the travel show is so good for him. But I feel like his is a little smarter than ours would be.
So I tried to say this on YFT this morning without sounding stupid, but that's, yeah, it is. It's smart. Like, and what Zach is doing is so great. He is going to these different countries and really exploring how they're becoming, like, he's exploring food sustainability, like growing your own food and living off the land and growing and eating what you have and all that. And then he goes to like Iceland where they're like, instead of relying on fossil fuels, like the United States, they're creating their own energy and using what they have. It's very cool. But it is very smart.
But you know what? This is kind of an idea that I already had for, it was like something Dad and I talked about doing together. But when I think of you, you're an Oz travel show, like, because I love interior design so much. And like, I feel like we could make different segments of that show where maybe there is a segment that it's talking about, or maybe we find somebody there that's done a complete redo or like updated like a historical home or just something in that space. But also, like, you love to hike. I feel like we have very different interests a lot of times. You love being outdoors and hiking. I love being a tourist and like kind of touring and different things that you can do, even if you're traveling with someone that you don't have that much in common with. Mm-hmm. And I think that that could be so much fun.
Well, sign me up. Give me the contract.
Okay, let me work on that.
Needs a job, you know.
I need a job. Actually, my job's insane. Been dealing with Molly and Noah and Dad, like you don't even know.
Well, mine has come to a screeching halt, so I'm ready for something.
I'm sorry. Well, okay, well, let's work on that because I am just dying to travel.
Samesies. Well, that's what I've been watching. But I guess we're doing Off Limits a little early in the episode.
Okay, yeah, I love Off Limits. Has anybody out there seen Molly's Game?
Mom, where have you been?
I've already seen it.
That movie came out so long ago.
Okay, so it did come out so long ago. But anyway, my friends hadn't seen it, so we watched it last night. And I'm obsessed with Molly's Game. It was so good. So if you haven't seen it, watch it. But the other thing I'm getting ready to start, it's probably too old for you guys, is Yellowstone.
I was going to start it.
Oh, great. Let's start it.
Horse dies in the first like 10 seconds and I can't watch that. We've already talked about this. Robert Redford, horse whisperer, traumatized us.
Oh, yeah. And now Kev's going to traumatize us. Kevin Costner's going to traumatize us.
Name basis with Kev.
Kev. I love Kev. But yeah, I'm going to start Yellowstone too. What else you been watching?
Honestly, I was binging Zac Efron. Smoke it up, sister. Wow. Travel to countries where marijuana isn't illegal and talk to people about their marijuana usage stories. Mm-hmm. Or is it illegal everywhere?
I don't know the answer to that, to be honest.
Goog.
Okay, great.
I feel like this is something on Sorry We're Stone that we should know.
Well, and just so many states now I see where lots of decriminalization going on. Thank goodness. Because the people that are in freaking jail for selling marijuana is absolutely insane, and they need to be released immediately.
Okay, my favorite place on the planet, Canada, fully legal.
What? You know what? I really like Canada too.
They do so many good things there.
Yeah. You know where I'd like to go in Canada is Victoria Island.
Oh yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
I'm reading this website. It's like places where you should or shouldn't smoke. Mexico, it says, should you smoke here? And it says, most likely, private and personal use of recreational marijuana in amounts of 5 grams or less is decriminalized. So
I am not taking any chances.
Belize, totally, you can smoke there.
Really? Belize, okay.
Costa Rica, should you smoke here? You may rely on it.
I love it.
It says it's technically illegal to smoke here, but doing so carries no legal penalty.
Wow, that's weird.
Super weird.
What about?
It says Jamaica, should you smoke here? Without a doubt. That's funny. Argentina, Colombia. So a lot of South America.
Ecuador. You can or cannot.
You can. Uruguay. Yeah. So basically South America is there.
You're all cool.
They're with it.
What about Iceland?
I don't think it is in Iceland.
Really? What about Switzerland?
I'm going down the list. Belgium, you can smoke.
What's in Belgium that I would like to see?
I don't know. It looks beautiful. They have a lot of nice horses in Belgium.
Wow.
Italy. It looks a little Portugal decriminalized drugs back in 2001. All drugs. Every drug there is. I guess that's why everyone...
Portugal? I love Portugal so much.
Fully allowed there.
Portugal is so fun and so cool. And walking around Portugal just makes me happy.
When did you go to Portugal?
On tour. I've been everywhere over there on tour. Lisbon, love.
Really?
And you know my other favorite place? Copenhagen.
Love Copenhagen. Okay. And you haven't been to Ibiza though.
I have not. That seems so fancy.
Ibiza?
Yeah. Everybody's so bougie in Ibiza.
Oh, that's where everybody goes to party.
Well, then let them party. I want to go like, no, that is not my scene at all. Bougie and ritzy and show off is not my thing. I like places that like Treasure Key in the Bahamas where there is nothing commercial about it. Like you're eating at beach shacks. Like I just love chill.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Switzerland, you can smoke in Switzerland. Possession of small amounts have been decriminalized. And there's a push to get some cannabis clubs going.
You know, honestly, like Switzerland just seems all around like the most amazing place to live.
Oh, it's my favorite place on the planet.
Yeah. Let's immediately, when things open up, let's go check out Switzerland.
Done and done.
Great.
Croatia, you can smoke there.
Been public. Dying to go to Croatia.
Estonia, you can smoke there. Russia.
Where's that?
Estonia is where my horse came from. It's spelled with an E, but yeah.
Oh, Estonia. Like I'm in the Estonia. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Smoke some more. Oh, Australia. Only medical marijuana. All right. So basically we're going to do a travel show. Go to a bunch of places where Tish can legally smoke weed.
We could do a whole weed segment in every place we go.
As long as it's legal.
Because just think about when we talked to Terry and how she said the economy could benefit and so could people.
So should we do a Zac Efron style doc where we go to places and we show how beneficial it is to their economy that weed is legal?
Yes. Sammy's having a breakdown.
He's not.
So sad.
Why?
Because, I don't know, Mello was here and then Sophie and Sammy just doesn't love other dogs. So he's feeling sad. He wanted to join the podcast.
I don't think he's sad. I think he just knows that you're a sucker and that you'll pick him up if he looks sad.
But he's just like a little human being just sitting here, part of the convo. Right, Sammy?
Yeah. Okay. So you're losing it. We got to do something with your life.
No, so bad.
It's so bad. All right. Let's get productive here.
Okay. It's time for Hot as On. Oh, no. It's not time for Hot as On, or is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hello. It's time for Hot as On.
You're nuts. All right. Are we bringing on your buddy, Matt?
We are going to bring on my buddy, Matt. Oh, my God. Sammy just ripped my headphones. Oopsies. He really did a number on my sound system. Samuel. Okay. I'm focused now. Let me think. You know what? Today, we're killing two birds, one stone with high design. Because I have got to tell you guys, I went down the Amazon rabbit hole this weekend.
No.
And my friend Juliana got so many amazing, cute furniture pieces for her house on Amazon that it was insane. And so I literally started going and looking. Like I could literally design a whole entire house in the most fabulous way on Amazon. Where are my lists? Did I literally not save them?
You delete everything under the sun.
But I made a list, a great list, as a matter of fact. Tish list. Sorry, we're stoned. Here we go.
Growing up with my mother, if you leave anything longer than like, I don't know, 3 minutes, she throws it away. Like you can set something on the kitchen counter and if you don't come back for it in a hot 60 seconds, gone in the trash.
It is so true. Mamaw Ruthie, Billy Ray's mom, like if she even is not finished with her coffee because she likes to sip on it for like 4 or 5 hours, she'll literally be like, I'm going to the bathroom. Are you going to pour out my coffee before I get back? And I'm like, probably. I know. And then I'll go, no, it's fine. I'll just clean around it. We best have this cold coffee sitting out for 4 hours. Seems disgusting to me.
Kind of do that sometimes. Guilty as charged.
Okay. So I am redoing. I have this little, it's a little teeny tiny single wide trailer, and I absolutely love it. And it's in this from the 70s, and it hasn't really been updated, which I actually loved. But it had a lot of roof damage and water that came into the walls, and so I'm having to replace it and redo the entire thing. And so I am literally on Amazon, and I have like decked out the whole entire thing. And there is a, if anybody's doing design right now, I have a hard time with beds. I always say that, like, takes a very specific headboard. And there is this metal, a white metal bed, and it comes in black as well, and sage green, which I'm really obsessed with these days. And it's by Novogratz, who actually, they used to have a show on HGTV. And so they have an entire line on Amazon right now. Every single thing's amazing. But it's called the Novogratz Francis Farmhouse white metal bed. It is so beautiful and so simple and so farmhouse chic. And a king is $339.
What?
It's an entire frame, headboard and footboard, white metal, farmhouse frame. It is so beautiful. Like, I'm telling you, every single color. One's called Dusty Green. It is, which I might do in the trailer because I love it. I personally love the black. The black is so pretty. But anyway, all three colors are gorgeous. A full is $165.
Whoa.
Like, this is amazing.
So where are you putting this in your trailer?
Yes. And it's like the cutest bed I've ever seen. Novogratz Francis Farmhouse King Frame, if you're wanting to update your bedroom in the cutest way for, I mean, a king size bed frame for $330 is nuts. So that was one that I literally could not believe my eyes. Then, gosh, they're Novogratz too. The other thing is I was looking for pendant lights to go on each side of the bed. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, why not just look on Amazon? They have the cutest pendant light. And there's one called, it's Globe Electric. It's Novogratz, and it's them times Globe Electric. It comes in different. It's gold and white, but it's the prettiest pendant. It is $50.
That's a good interior design hack, piece of advice, actually. If you're looking for bedroom lighting, my mom is the one that put me on this, actually. Instead of putting lamps on each bedside table, like, we're so over lamps. If you hang pendants on each side, it just like elevates the aesthetic.
It really does. And not all pendants. I know everybody is like, oh, then I have to have an electrician, but so many beautiful pendants. Some of my favorite ones, you don't have to wire in, you can plug in, and then they just hang like by a hook or whatever. And they're so beautiful. Like, you don't have to have them wired in. You can absolutely find ones that just plug in. These do wire in, but they are so pretty and so cute. And for $50, you cannot go wrong. So that is another update that I was in shock. And then there is a bench. They call it a long console table. It does not look like a console table to me because it is only 15 inches high. That's a bench.
Yeah.
So it's a long bench, very mid-century or farmhouse. It's just a wood top and it's pretty sleek, but it's like walnut. And so it's like really rich and pretty. And then it has black metal hairpin legs. I can never find benches very long. And this one's 60 inches long. And it is so pretty. And it is literally $157.
Wow.
And it could just be, you could use it for so many things. And I even love it under a picture, you know, just under a picture with some throw pillows. But for $150, I feel like if you just want to do one little thing and to make a big impact, the bed or pendant lighting or this bench, like, you could, like, the whole room could feel refreshed if you just did one of those things. And they're all on Amazon, and everything ranges from $50 to $350 up to that king size bed. So I just thought, for high design today, I could do my Amazon picks and a little high design together, since today is kind of a design day, because my bestie Matt Sanders is coming on today, who I am obsessed with, as Brandy knows.
For those that don't know Matt Sanders, give him a little intro. Like,
I don't think I can do Matt Sanders justice, because Matt Sanders is kind of the king of everything. Like, I have seen Matt Sanders come meet me for lunch, and he is full on in denim head to toe, denim beret, denim jacket, denim jeans, and just like killing the style. And he like is my favorite fashion inspo. He's just so much fun. But I came to know Matt when he, with a few other people, started the website that I love more than anything, called My Domain. It is still an obsession of mine. And Matt was on board to start that entire website, which has turned into just such a huge brand. And Matt said they actually remember when they first started it. I was like one of the first first people to be on there like commenting, and they'd be like, oh my God, Tish Cyrus knows who we are. And I was on there like freaking out, like, oh my God, who is Matt Sanders? Who is this guy? Like, I'm freaking out because I'm so obsessed with his design. It's so my aesthetic, because as much as I love and think I'm great at interior design, there is no, like, Matt just has a vision for everything, and it's so incredible. So anyway, I thought I'd just bring him on and have him answer some design questions.
So who met Matt first, you or Miley?
Of course me. And everybody's late to the party.
Brought him in and said, design Miley's house.
So I also do production, and I've been wanting to do some design shows. I'd also love to do interior design shows that I'm not in, that I just produce, because it's a little bit less time consuming. And honestly, Matt is just so incredible. So I went to him and said, why don't we put a show together, whether it's for you, whether it's for both of us, like whatever you want, I'll do. And so we've been working together, and really we started working together on Miley's house right after we met. Because I brought him in, and he's helping me right now design what we're calling the disco treehouse in my backyard, because I just have never had a vision for that space. So him and I are working on that right now. And then we also are working on producing a couple shows together in the interior design space. So the fun thing is I love working with friends and people that I have a connection to. And like, there is not any moment that I'm not working with Matt that I'm not having fun.
Well, let's give him a call.
Okay, let's give Matt a call.
Get him on the line.
Still my favorite website to this day is my domain. You can just look on there and find so many inspirational things for your home. But anyway, let's welcome my good friend, Matt.
I think we should let him do his own little intro and tell the stoners a little bit about himself.
Don't you love the stoners?
Well, hi. So I'm Matt Sanders, and I am a design guy. I'm an interior designer. I make furniture. I sell pretty things. I've worked in design media. I've basically worked on every side of the desk you can imagine in the design industry.
That's insane. And so my mom told everybody that you are one of the creative minds behind my domain, and that's how she discovered you. So I feel like everybody, even if you're not an interior design guru, I feel like you know my domain. Like, that's such a popular website. Tell us how you started something like that.
Yes, it was such a fun project. So I kind of fell into design because I had this funny little 250 square foot apartment in New York City when I lived there. And I decorated it in this over-the-top nautical theme that was kind of like, I always say it was like Pee-wee's Playhouse meets Ralph Lauren, because it was totally ridiculous and outfitted in things I found at garage sales and tag sales, flea markets. But you know, it was kind of chic, but it was a major theme applied to a tiny space. That apartment ended up on the cover of Apartment Therapy's Big Book of Small Cool Spaces. I started working for them as an editor, and then I bounced around and I helped relaunch Domino Magazine with Condé Nast. And then I came to LA to do my domain, because this was like now 2012. Websites were still the wild, wild west. And apparently I was the only guy in the United States of America that knew about interior design and building website. Came out here to start this website with the women at Click Media, with Who, What, Where. And it was going to be a shoppable, celebrity-focused home decor editorial website. Back in 2012, they were still calling them blogs. And I remember before we even launched, when we started putting some marketing out there and announced it, Tish was one of the first followers of the website.
I was obsessed from day one. And like, I was like going down a rabbit hole trying to figure out who Matt was. Like, I was just like, who is he?
And I think you gravitated towards it because immediately like our styles aligned, because it was my creative vision, you know, in terms of what the look and feel of that type of home decor site would look like. And, you know, my style and your style is very much all about livability, casual comfort, you know, professional design that feels like you could have done it yourself, colors, soft patterns, really easygoing. And, you know, I think you just latched on to that immediately, because that's your style and that's my style too.
Absolutely. And like, honestly, it is true. Like, that whole aesthetic of that site is completely you.
So mom stalked Matt on Google, and now you're designing Miley's home. How did that happen?
You know, I'm always doing Miley's home. And as soon as I wanted someone to work on it with, there was no other person, because Matt also, we have very similar styles, but Matt also can go real big. mm-hmm. where more is more. And him and Molly, I knew were going to be a perfect pair.
And so, of course, Tish called me and she's like, Matt, will you just come over and help me with a couple things at Miley's house? She just needs like a few things. I'm like, okay, sure. And I pop over. And like within the first hour, I realized, oh, this is like a full scale renovation and decor project. That's going to take months of time.
Just a few small things.
Well, when I'll say a few things, it was like, let's move a few pieces while you're here. And then let's get into the big scale. No, like we're all in on a Molly project right now. And it's really fun to do because she loves going big. And so her and Matt are just like, you know, they really mm-hmm. see eye to eye on this more is more.
Yeah, well, she really is a dream client for someone who loves color and design because, you know, her creative vision is so strong. It's just like I'm playing editor to her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She loves sculptural pieces. She loves color. She loves things that are loud. She loves patterns. She loves wallpaper. She loves insane lighting and furniture. So, I mean, it's a dream. All your clients always want to play it safe, but to have someone who really wants to not only take risks, but take it to, you know, like a very extreme place is so fun. My job with her is to just like keep it chic.
And I feel like what they're doing is like, you're going to walk in and you're just going to have this total experience. Like it just mm-hmm. is going to kind of tell a story from the second you pull in to the driveway. Like everything is just going to kind of tell this amazing story and really like so personal to her. So it's going to be really cool. But literally Molly honestly always says like, I just wish I could be an interior designer.
People say that. I read that it's the number one career people choose to decide to go into when they decide to change careers because it looks so glamorous. And you're like, mm-hmm. you're just picking out beautiful fabrics and you're creating gorgeous rooms all the time. And what people don't really understand is that it's very technical. Mm-hmm. Clients can often be complete nightmares and like make your life completely miserable. Not Tish and not Miley, of course, because it's just a fun project. And uh-huh. sometimes you're getting on your hands and knees and I'm cleaning rat poop out of HVAC systems. Oh.
What?
It is not a glamorous job. It's all part of the job.
He is working that all the time, not to mention drawing out structures and, you know, just figuring out so many things.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces and people don't realize like to choose a sofa requires 5 or 6 decisions with 5 or 6 different vendors involved, and anything can and will go wrong between getting that order decided on and getting it into your house. So it's a high risk job. There's lots of room for error. There's lots of moving pieces. So it really takes a left brain, right brain personality.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think my biggest thing that's so hard for me is like, I just have such a specific taste in design. Mm-hmm. I would be hard for me to work with like a client who wasn't a family member because I would want to make them choose what I want to choose.
Well, she did this on Cyrus vs. Cyrus. I'm not going to say who, but one of the families, they picked out a light that she hated and they refused to use the one she picked out and she was livid.
And not to mention the light they chose was too big, which is what I was trying to tell them, but they were not having it. But because they actually were paying and it was a renovation they were really going to do, they got to have like serious input.
See, when clients let you have free rein and do what you know how to do best, that's when you have the best results. So the show I'm on right now is called Work, with three dollars and an exclamation point, Work. It's from the producers of Queer Eye, and it's the same format, except we make over failing startup businesses instead of people. So I'm the design guy on that. And you know, these businesses are really kind of just letting go of the reins and they're closing their eyes and they're so grateful for us to kind of turn around their business, and I get to do whatever I want with the spaces. And when we filmed season 1, like, it was tears when they walked in the door every time. But if they were involved in the process, you know, it wouldn't have been that impactful and it wouldn't have been something that they wouldn't have expected and have done themselves. So, you know, I think my advice for any client working with an interior designer is just like, let go, let them do their thing. Trust that they're going to like give you something that you've never expected and it will be a whole new you.
Yeah. Cause I'm a control freak too. So I get it, but it's
major.
You gotta put some trust into your major.
Speaking of control freak, we're going to let Matt hijack Dear MT for a hot minute and let him take the reins on answering some questions. Are you down? Ooh,
okay. You're telling me to be quiet.
Yep. Let's see what the stoners have to ask Matt.
Hey, Leticia and Brandy, it's Paula. So I am so obsessed with this podcast, and I am loving all the recommendations. My question for Matt is, are there any inexpensive countertops that still look great? And my second part to the question is about my living room. When you're starting a room from scratch, where is the best place to start? Thanks for all the advice and all the great recommendations. Love you guys.
Paula, calling you Letitia is everything.
Paula is a friend of mine from high school, and I told her Matt was going to be on and that if she had any questions to call in, because one day we were getting ready to do the podcast and she had hit me up. I was actually running late because she hit me up and she was like, I have two design questions. And so we FaceTimed, and the crazy thing was, is like when we FaceTimed, like I was so impressed. Her kitchen right now is, you know, just brown wood, and it's just very what was put in the house when they bought it. So they want to do white cabinets. But she had that wall painted black, and she had another wall that she had just all these black and white photo frames all over the wall, and it like looked so cool. And so now I can picture she wants to do the countertops, but they're having a hard time because of budget. And so I was like, that's a great question for Matt. And she's redoing her living room, so I'm stoned as hell.
I can tell.
It's insane. Anyway.
By the time you shut up, Matt's going to forget the question.
Okay. I love countertop questions.
Love.
Because they are a big ticket item. You're going to have them for a very long time, and people get very nervous about making the decision, and they're expensive. So I love to use Butcher Block for countertops if you need something kind of inexpensive. You can order sheets online. There's several websites, if you just Google it, that you can get them custom cut. I think they look really chic. I love when you kind of like use them and let them get a little wear and tear going. It kind of feels like a vintage French kitchen kind of look. So I love Butcher Block countertop. I think Formica is coming back, Tish. And we were talking about this. I think, you know, the technology has improved where the core of the Formica can also be the same color as the actual Formica. So you don't see that black edge. So when you like do a mitered edge, you can get like a nice, clean, like a solid surface kind of look. And they come in fun colors. You know, we're all about color. I love kind of vintage style kitchens. So you could play with them there. But I would say don't be afraid of Butcher Block. And for Mike, I think it's making a comeback.
Men love Butcher Block.
Love. And I like also am a big fan of kind of mixing things up, like maybe doing Butcher Block just on the island. Don't be afraid to mix it up. Also, the two colors I saw in the Formica recently were baby blue and orange. And I just think that's so cool and vintage, like Matt said, and could be really cute with all white. But what I did see when I was looking at the Formica is that they do a black and white that looks like marble. And it actually looks amazing. And they had made a huge coffee table out of it as well. And it just looked so good. And I was like, wow, like Formica has come so far in making kind of a comeback. And it was so cool to see. And like she's starting her living room, like where is the first place to start?
Okay. I love when design is always telling your story. And I feel like whenever you're redesigning a room, you always have something that you're starting with. Rarely are people truly starting from scratch. So whether it's the sofa, the rug, a floor lamp, you always have something. And if you love that piece so much, that's telling your story. I always say build upon a key piece. So use that piece, know that you love it, and build the story around that.
And if you aren't keeping anything, maybe go and pick, like, once you're out shopping, maybe you find a couch that you die for, or it's a rug, or it is the lamp. You love that one piece. So I think that's so good, is to just like not be so like, I have to start with the floor, or I have to start with the paint. Just start with something that you love.
Yeah, let it be kind of an organic process. And start a pin board, for the love of God. There's nothing better than like finding inspiration, and you never know what you're going to discover by just pinning and going down a rabbit hole of Pinterest. And that really helps you focus and come up with new ideas.
I feel like it makes Tish go just really lose her mind and not know what to do.
It literally makes me lose my mind, because I want to do everything that I love, and my house just isn't big enough for that. So like that is true, because that's when I get and I want to just redo my entire house. Okay.
All right. Question number two.
Hello. This message is for Tish and Matt. My name is Donna, and I'm calling from Los Angeles. And my question is, I have a brick fireplace, red brick, in my den. I've already had the dark wood paneling on the walls and the ceiling beams in that room painted out. But I'm just not knowing what to do about the brick fireplace and the hearth. Some people have suggested painting it white. I know a lot of people do that, paint red brick white. Also, I'm thinking maybe stacked stone veneer applied to the fireplace. I don't know what the most logical solution is. Also, the cost and labor involved with stacked stone can be kind of expensive. But anyway, that's my question. Red brick fireplace. how do I make that more modern and up to date? Thank you.
Thanks, Donna, for your question.
Well, I would say do not use veneer, right?
Veneer not happening.
Tish, I feel like we're going to have the same response to this.
I know what I'm thinking.
I would say paint it black.
Totally paint it black. Yeah. You know what? I love white painted brick. I feel like it's gotten really overdone. And I was just in Lake Arrowhead and we rented an Airbnb and it was so small and so tiny. And I was like, oh my gosh. But I walked in the front door. Everything was white in the entire place except the fireplace, and it was black painted brick. It was like so cute, and that was such a focal point. It set the tone for the whole house.
Yeah, I think it's a very cool modern moment, and it's very high contrast, which I love, especially if your walls are white. I think it works well when your walls are like a nice warm white or bright white. But yeah, paint it all black, and a lot of people are hanging their TVs over the fireplace, so that really helps because it just makes the TV go away, the big black box. So it's a great way to hide the TV as well. That's two tips in one.
But I'm hoping that Donna painted her walls white and the ceiling, so because this will be a big impact. So anyway, thanks, Donna.
That's one of my favorite tricks, actually. Black fireplace.
Me too. I was going to say, I would have just said paint it white. So this is great. Great advice. All right. We got one more.
Hi, this is Bonnie from Long Island. My house is getting to be a little dated, and I'd like to know the easiest and best way to start redecorating that won't break the bank. Thanks.
Bonnie. I always say paint.
For sure. Paint is the most inexpensive way to make a high impact transformation. You can totally reinvent your story by just changing the color.
Totally. And I'm the biggest fan of just paint everything snowbound. Benjamin Moore snowbound. Paint it that. Be done. Everything's fresh. Everything looks great.
My house is snowbound.
Of course it is. Tish loves snowbound. Everything is snowbound. I use White Dove by Benjamin Moore. It's a little bit of a warmer white.
Oh, this room used to be Dove White, and now it's snowbound.
Wow. So you're literally a design trend ahead of me. I need to catch up.
Or maybe you're a design trend ahead of me. I don't know. But like everybody in my family, Brandy's house is snowbound. Molly's house is snowbound. My house, Noah's house, like everybody's house is snowbound.
Literally.
When it works, it works.
It's true. It's a great color that works with everything.
I think paint is great. And also like just move things around in your room. Start there. You know, don't underestimate the possibility of just finding a new story by placing furniture in a place that you never thought it could go, because it might just make you realize something about the layout or the floor plan, or might breathe new life into a piece that you were tired of before, and then you decide you suddenly want to keep, and it will save you money from having to replace that piece.
That's good advice. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of swapping out lighting, which I think the lighting in your home makes a huge difference. Granted, that can get expensive, but my mom and I were already talking about, like, there's so many places where you can get cheap, really cool lighting, and I bought a lot of the lighting for my Nashville home on Etsy, and a lot of it was, like, literally, like, max $100, $150, and it just changed, like, the whole vibe of my house, because my house was built in the 1930s and I kept a lot of that character. So adding some more like modern lighting to it changed the game.
I love that idea. And you can find really good deals on well-designed lighting on Etsy. And I mean, I'm not afraid to admit it. I love IKEA. IKEA is great design. It's totally inexpensive. And oftentimes I have clients who want to hold out for large ticket items for lighting, like something a little more expensive, but they're either not ready to spend the money or the lead time is so long and we don't want to leave them with nothing. So I will go to an IKEA or an Etsy as a solution for something temporary. And oftentimes if they haven't made the decision yet, they just end up living with the IKEA piece because it looks good and people don't know it. You know, you mix it with high-end stuff and it just looks like a really good, like, fun staple piece.
Totally. That's my favorite thing, is to mix really like a really high end, you know, with a lower end piece from like an IKEA or an Etsy or somewhere. And like, it honestly, once it comes together, it'll look so cool. That's why I feel like you can keep a couple pieces of furniture that you already have and build around that. And even if you don't have a lot of money, there's so many good things. I mean, like, you really truly cannot go wrong with IKEA if you get someone else to build it.
True. Amazing. All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for giving our stoners some advice.
Thank you so much for having me. And everyone watch my show on MailChimp Presents. It's called Work.
Okay, so can you explain, because MailChimp?
So you know MailChimp? It's like it's what everyone in the world uses to send their email newsletter.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they are starting a television network, and we're their flagship show. And everything is, all their programming is centered around career and entrepreneurship. So the show is called Work, and it is available to watch. It's streaming now on MailChimpPresents.com. Mm,
amazing. Very cool.
Where can we follow you on Instagram, Matt Sanders?
Follow me on social media everywhere at the Matt Finish.
Nice.
Amazing.
I get it. That's a good one.
It's so good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Matt.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys.
Come back anytime.
Bye.
So again, if you want to check out Matt's show, it's called Work, and it's on the MailChimp platform, which he said you just go to MailChimpPresents.com, and you can just watch it online, which is super cool. And you can follow him on Instagram at...
The Matt Finish.
Okay. Get it? Okay. Matt Finish.
It's so cute. No, Matt's awesome. Yes, definitely follow him on Insta.
While you're still stoned and before my phone dies, we have a few more other questions for the answer.
Okay.
All right. We have a few new questions for Dear MT. Here we go.
Hi, Tish and Brandy. Huge fan over here. My name is Paige. I was just wondering if y'all would consider recording a Cyrus Fam Christmas album. I know Noah and Miley have some covers, and they're my favorite, and I just keep thinking around Christmas time, like, I just want a Cyrus Family Christmas album. So I just wanted to know if you guys would ever consider that. Alrighty, love y'all. Have a good day. Bye.
I have always said we need a Cyrus Family Christmas album.
I want to just know, where did these people think this became Dear MT and BC?
Paige, I have been trying to get my family to record a Christmas album for so long.
I think we should go one step further and do a Christmas special with a record.
Well, hell's bells, we ain't doing anything else.
Well, we just have to see. I don't know how production's going to be this year, but maybe in this year we could put next year into motion.
I've been saying this for a decade that we need a Cyrus Family Christmas album.
We do. I just think that a visual, a special of seeing the insanity is like so much better. And so we might as well see all the fist spots during the making up because it'll be really good.
Tizzle will play tambourine.
So good.
She's got the sleigh bells on.
Honestly, and I feel like I can do background vocals.
I don't know. It is a fabulous idea. I have talked about it a lot. We just have to get everybody on board.
I'm in.
I'm in.
Definitely in.
Okay. All right. We got a weed question.
Hi, guys. My name's Casey. I'm from Indiana. I was wondering if I could get some advice. So my boyfriend's parents think pretty poorly of those who smoke marijuana, even when it helps with medical problems. And this causes my boyfriend to have a lot of shame about how he treats his ADD and depression. So I was wondering if you could maybe give some advice on how we can approach this topic with his parents. And then Brandy, you have talked about your Enneagram test, and I'm a 9-2, so I was curious if you knew what your Myers-Briggs personality type was. Anyways, thank you guys. Love you, and I hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
Love Casey. Nines represent.
I absolutely love Casey and her question because I was so just against it for so long in such a major way. I just thought it was so wrong. Like there was just no convincing me otherwise. And I think for me, I actually, because I'm a Christian and like, because for so long, that belief also was that it was just like this terrible drug and you shouldn't be doing it. And as you know, so there were so many reasons that I wasn't for it. And so I really struggled with that as well. The kind of shame or just really kind of the shame of it. And the biggest thing for me was, I think that people that do think that though, if they could look at it from the point that happened to me where I was so traumatized from being in this bus that caught on fire. I think people have heard me talk about that. I was on tour, our bus caught on fire, burnt to the ground. And so going to a room and going to sleep on a bus again was so scary for me. And I just could not sleep. And it was affecting me during the day and how I worked. And so somebody gave me an Ambien. And so I took Ambien for about a week and it was terrible. It just made me feel terrible. Like it made me feel tired the next day. I just didn't feel right. It just made me nervous. You know, I don't know. It just really did not affect me well. And that was so scary that I'm okay to take a chemical and put it in my body. But I could do the same thing and take a couple of hits of weed that is natural and from the earth and, you know, flower, and it could make me sleep and have less anxiety and just do that without putting an Ambien in my body. And so that for me was like such an eye opener that I just felt like it's medicine. It truly is such a amazing medicine for pain relief and, you know, for so many people for anxiety and sleep that I just feel like it can be life-changing. And so I think that's where I got, you know, in and just made myself not feel ashamed.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's never easy to try to convince somebody of something when they're, you know, dead set on it. When people have very strong opinions, like it's, you don't want to be in a position where you're trying to talk somebody out of like believing what they believe, but there is something to be said about like laying out the facts. And if your boyfriend is on any kind of medication for his anxiety, depression, if I were you, I would just like do a tiny bit of research and find out maybe what the negative effects of those medications are. And then maybe make a list of like the positive effects of marijuana and kind of lay it out in like a facts way versus like a, hey, I believe this, you believe that kind of thing.
And the other thing about that is like, I look and see how marijuana was used for medical purposes, like in the 30s and 40s, like it was literally a medicine, like they prescribed it. And it is a fact that marijuana is used very successfully as, you know, anti-seizure medication, just so many things that is good. And so I think, yes, actually researching and finding those facts is key.
Laying out the facts. Maybe I know there's a bunch of documentaries right now about prescription drugs. I think The Pharmacist is one on Netflix.
Yes.
Maybe like suggest they watch a couple of those. So hopefully that advice helped you. Also, just because I'm such a nerd and I love the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram, Casey asked what my Myers-Briggs result was. Granted, I haven't taken this test in a while, and they do say it changes like as you get older and everything. But the last time I took it, I was an ISTJ, which is the least common group or whatever. It's like, I'm like the least common one. I don't know how to say that. But I is for introvert, S is for sensing, T is for thinking, and J is for judgment. See, call back and leave a message and let me know what your Myers-Briggs result is.
I want to take this. Can you send me the link again?
The long test, MT. Do you think you have the patience?
Yeah, I'm going to do it tonight. And then I'm going to tell everybody what my Enneagram is.
You need to do the Enneagram and the Myers-Briggs test. They're two different.
Oh, okay. I'll do both. Should we do both?
Yeah, the Enneagram. So if you guys have no idea what we're talking about, two fascinating quote unquote personality tests is I guess what you would call them. Enneagram is so interesting. There are 9 types on the Enneagram and you can take a 40-minute test. We can post the links to these on our socials this week for you guys. It is like, there's like a small test fee. I think it's like $10 or something. Totally worth taking. And it just asks a bunch of questions and it'll tell you what Enneagram number you are. And you can do all of this reading and research. And it just really tells you a lot about who you are as a person, how you react to things, why you are the way you are. And it helps you, like, if you know somebody else's Enneagram number, it'll help you learn how to communicate with that person and why they react the way they do. And it really just promotes healthy relationships. We should actually have Reinhardt's mom on one of these episodes because she works with the Enneagram.
Let's do that for sure.
We can talk her into it.
Will she do it?
We're listening right now and thinking, absolutely not, but she's so smart. I would love to have her on.
We are definitely having her on.
And the Myers-Briggs is a very, very complex personality test. And so there's 4 letters in those and it breaks it up into like whether like the first letter, mine's introvert. The opposite is extrovert, but there's all kinds of different combinations of personality that you can be with the Myers-Briggs. And it is also very fascinating. So we'll post links and I'll make Tizzle take those tests and we can really dive into it. It's fascinating.
Sounds fun.
Great questions, Casey.
Let's do one more, be done.
We got one more.
Hi, Tish and Brandy. This is Emma from New Jersey. Your family is so involved in the music industry in so many ways. You started with country and then you moved on to like teen pop with Hannah Montana. And of course, Noah has her like moody music as well as calls it. Metro Station, Brandy DJing, going on tour with Sam Hunt. Through all of that, what is your personal favorite music genre? And what would you say to people whose music tastes are closed-minded? Because it seems like you guys are very diverse with the music that you like and create for the world. So thank you.
Great question, Emma. So Emma, great question. Emma just really wants to know like what our personal taste of music is. And she was saying, what advice would you have to people that are really closed-minded about music? I honestly, and I'm not just saying this, I listen to music of all different genres, like all across the spectrum. My Spotify playlists that Spotify curates for me are such a mess of different things. Like I'll have one song that comes on that's like Trisha Yearwood from the 90s. And then the next song that comes on is like Juice WRLD. Like it is a mess because I listened to everything. I grew up on a lot of country because of my dad, for sure. A lot of 80s rock because of my mom. And then as I got older, I really like 90s alt rock. I loved Matchbox 20 and the Goo Goo Dolls, and that really got me into, like, I was obsessed with lyrics. Like, when I, and there's two types of people. People that listen to a song and hear the music part, and people that listen to a song and hear the lyrics part. And I am like full on lyrics. Like, I love listening to the story that a song tells. And so that's kind of how I got into my own music taste. Because I grew up listening to so much, I feel like I really just enjoy everything. And I think if somebody is opposed to listening to a certain genre of music, I would just say to them, like, every genre of music plays off of the other one. You know what I mean? Like, if you listen to country, there's pop influences. And if you listen to pop, there's hip hop influences. And like, it just goes on and on and on. And it, you really can, I mean, I find enjoyment listening to all different genres, really depending on my mood and what I'm going through.
And I really feel like hip hop even had a huge influence on country. You know, everything is just so intertwined. And I feel the same way. Like, there is just no way I could pick one genre. Yeah. I'm the same way. Like, my Spotify playlist, it is something from the 70s, like something really cool and laid back, to I still love my 80s rock. I actually have been listening to nonstop 80s on Sirius, like every time I'm in the car. And I just love every single style and type of music. And I think also, you're right. I think that Dad and I both played music so much. And he and I, we both listened to country, but in some ways, different styles. But even though I love old, old country, Patsy Cline and Willie and Kris Kristofferson and Waylon, those are still my favorite country artists. And then I just love every genre. And I think that you guys are lucky to have had like just the influence of both of us. Just learn so much about every type of music.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good question.
Yeah, great.
All right. Well, we've talked for way too long. Speaking of the voicemail, if you guys are wondering how you call in and leave a message on the voicemail, let me tell you. We have a voicemail box set up for DRMT. You can call us at, are you ready? 818-839-0534. You call that number, you leave a message, you can ask us a question, and we'll play it live on the podcast, and Tish and me will answer.
And you can ask anything, because we can do the DRMT segment, we'll answer questions about design, anything your heart desires.
Wow, anything. You really are opening it up to possibility.
You know what? I think maybe we need to talk about love and relationships and sex and crazy stuff.
You want to talk about sex? You get grossed out. Anytime Miley and I start talking about sex, you're like, ew, can you guys not? We should. You guys should.
Okay, we totally should.
Also, if you haven't already, go and subscribe to Sorry We're Stoned wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. We're in all the places. That way you never miss an episode and you're part of the Stoner crew. Also, we would love if you would give us 5 stars and write a review. Honestly, I feel like we should steal from YFT one more time and start reading some of the reviews on iTunes.
Absolutely. And also, like, please tell your friends, because if not, we're going to get canceled. And I don't even know if you can get canceled.
I'm going to cancel your ass real quick. You know, this is a new podcast, so we are trying to grow it. So you guys spread the word, tweet about it, Instagram about it, post about it. That helps us a lot. And we're trying to grow this into a great little stoner community that lasts forever and ever and ever.
Forever. And also, you should go back and listen to us on Chicks in the Office. We were guests on their podcast. It was so much fun. Those girls are so great. And we were on, what, last week?
This past week, yeah.
This past week. But it's Chicks in the Office, and Brandy and I were their guests, and we had so much fun.
So check that out, and we'll be back next week.
Can't wait. Talk to you soon, tips.